Well, folks, Belinda Conaway is the Register of Wills for Baltimore City. She is talking to us about why we need a will, and hopefully she will give us lots of advice on how we can start the process. Madam Register of Wills, Belinda Conaway, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. Before we begin, I do have to say this because I'm sure our listeners are wondering. You are part of the dynasty, the Conaway family. Your father was such a dear friend of mine. He was the clerk of the court, of the circuit court for Baltimore City. Your beautiful, beautiful mother served in that position before you became the Register of Wills. And I'm looking for her name right here, and of course I don't see it. You would think I would have it in front of me, but
my second mother.
Your second mother, that's right. And she was wonderful. She and he worked very hard for the city of Baltimore. And your brother is a member of the Maryland State Legislature. So you are a family that believes in service.
We do. It's very important. One, being accessible, which is one of our family trademarks. You know, if you call us, it doesn't make a difference who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We will call you back. That's one thing that my father instilled in me, and I'm amazed at how many people still reach out. They call, and a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with the Register of Wills. Help. And, you know, they know that that if they get a hold of us, that we'll do our best to help. And so I always carry that with me, along with the having a publicly listed phone number,
mm-hmm.
which is something that my father insisted on. He says, you know, we're public officials; people should be able to pick up the phone and call us.
Mm. And so I had the honor of working for you for a very brief time. You were a great boss. I saw all the great work that your staff and you did to really prepare families and unfortunately deal with the aftermath of families, some prepared, some not prepared. And that's why Kara and I are very excited to talk to you today.
Oh, yes. It's, you know, it's a lot more exciting than I thought it would be.
Uh-huh.
And I've learned the importance of letting people know that they have to get your affairs in order. None of us wants to think about dying.
Of course.
But, you know, as my father would say, you know any other way to get out of this old world? You know it's going to happen. And the wreck that's left behind when people do not have their affairs in order. I know that there are parents that have probably turned over in their grave.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the children are here fighting publicly. You know, it's all spelled out in court record, all of these family disagreements and how the children are fighting over properties and who took care of the parents and who didn't. You know, none of us want to see our families fighting that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so much easier if you tell us who you want to inherit your assets. Take the time, get it done. And that way you don't have to worry about it. But there are all kinds of things. We also encourage people to bring your will for safekeeping.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
One of the underutilized services. You can bring your original will here. It costs $5.
Mm.
If you live forever, we will keep it forever. That's the special that we write. But for $5, and some people wonder, well, you know, if I write the will, why should I bring it there? Why do I need to bring it for safekeeping?
Mm-hmm.
One, sometimes the wills change between the time they leave your home and the time they get
mm-hmm.
here.
Yes.
Because what people will do when they feel excluded from a will or, you know, they don't want someone in a will. So it's always best if you take care of getting that will and bring it down for safekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have it, we know who you want to be your personal representative, we know who you want to inherit your assets.
And before we get into details about how the process begins, what people need to do at first, tell us the horrors, and I saw it. I saw you pulling your hair out, trying to deal with families when there was no will, when there wasn't something directing the family on what to do when someone unfortunately passes.
It gets pretty heated, and it normally erupts here in the Registered Wills Office.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a child that perhaps has a drug addiction, and you pass away with no will, the first child that gets here is the one that could be named personal representative and have authority over your bank account, your vehicles, your home. So, you know, we get that where someone will come in and they will be appointed as the personal representative for the estate, and a day or two later, a sibling will come in and say, oh no, you can't do that. They cannot have authority over, and they outline all these reasons, but that's not something that we know. If you don't tell us who the responsible one is, then we don't know. And unfortunately, too often, the irresponsible ones make it here first.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
First on the agenda. So that will is so important. We also had another case where a lady had a daughter. She owned a home. She left her home to two of her neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter was not in the will at all.
Oh, wow.
But the daughter tries to interject herself, but we have a will. So we know what the person's wishes are.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of situations and dynamics in families. I always say, you know the characters in your family. We don't.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I use that word intentionally because it conjures up a different image as opposed to saying, well, you know the people in your family and you're thinking about all of the warm and fuzzy people that you love. And but when I say you know the characters,
yes,
family, we do not. It gives a different level of understanding. You don't want, you know, there's some grandparents that have cars. They've promised the car to the grandchild. It's not written down anywhere. It's not in the will. One thing that a lot of people don't know is you can designate a beneficiary for your car. You can go to the MVA website. I believe it's $20, and you can state who you want the beneficiary to be. And so, you know, when you take care of business, get it taken care of so that your assets go to who you want to have them. And as most of you know, I was very early in my term, I almost just sworn in, when my father passed. You get surprised. I was quite surprised at some of the phone calls I received about, you know, all kinds of things. They wanted the car, they wanted this, they wanted that. Some of them told me, oh, he was just about to sell me that car and went too far with his lie.
Of course.
But what I said to people, you know, if you have a problem with how my father decided to distribute his assets, you can take it up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Never see him again. I mean, the peace of mind that it gives your family to deal with the situation. The other thing is we encourage people to leave important paperwork someplace where whoever has to deal with your business can come along and find it and have everything that they need. So, for example, they say, well, you know, why is this important? Some people have been separated 20, 30 years.
Yep.
They don't know where the spouse is, haven't seen them, don't know if the spouse is living or dead. But if you die, they will show up.
They will show up.
They will show up. Some people have been divorced. You know, a lot of us, we don't like people in our business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you've been divorced from your spouse, but no one knows it. That would be important paperwork to leave so that whoever is handling your business, they know what to do. We've also had situations where fathers have been listed on the birth certificate and later on find out that they're not the father.
Wow.
Now, perhaps that's not important to you. Maybe you raised a child and, you know, that's your child.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the case and, you know, you want to make sure that everything is straight, that's paperwork that you may want to leave with all of your important papers. Whatever it is that will help your, the personal representative to handle your business, whatever it is that they need to know, that important paperwork is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes people forget about all of life's situations that can cause problems. So for your home, you can do a life estate for your deed, so that that dictates exactly who you want to inherit the house.
Mm.
You can take care of the car. You can designate beneficiaries on your bank account. So try to get your affairs in order.
So, Ms. Conaway, we have a caller who wants to join the call. Jay, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to make a statement about, I believe that this is true, that a will is only good after the person passes on. It's only good for 18 months. Is that correct?
No.
Yes?
No.
No.
No?
No.
Can you explain, please? I mean, how long is a will good for?
We have wills that go back almost 100 years.
Wow.
No one has come to open an estate, and that happens. Sometimes people don't come to open an estate.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there are also people, for example, the grandparents pass. And their children live in the house and never change the deed. Then those people they come to live in the house. So, you know, the grandchildren are living in the grandparents' house. No one has changed the name on the deed. Then all of a sudden we have to come back and figure out who was supposed to inherit the grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's one of, you know, whichever one of the children, all the children, who inherited for the parents. So mm-hmm. it can get messy, and you have to go back and you have to see, was there a will for grandmom and granddad? Is there a will for mom and dad? You know, the wills do not expire in 18 months.
Okay. So why would there be this misconception that a will expires?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
You certainly have people that have to come down and open the estate.
Of course.
And they, you know, sometimes it's 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, because no one has updated the deed for the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, Belinda, a lot of people just put it off and say, well, I don't really have anything to put in a will. Is it important to put the most minimalistic things that you might have, even if you don't have money or whatever, to put them in a will?
Absolutely. I had my godmother used to say, I only have this little row house. That's all I have.
Mm.
When she closed her eyes, people came out of the cracks in the cement, that little row house.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you may feel like you may not have much, and I also think that people often overlook the family heirlooms, things that have been passed down from generation to generation. It may be sitting in a box in a closet, but you need to really think about those things that you have that are valuable. Some people have baseball card collections.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the older folk have stamp collections. I don't know if people do that anymore. It used to be a thing. But these things may be sitting in your closet, and people don't know that they're valuable. So it's another important reason to really think about what you have that's valuable and who should inherit it.
So
if you don't know that whether somebody has a will, is that public information? I'll use me as an example. My father died. He was married, but I don't know whether he had a will or not. So can I come and ask about his will, or is that only information that maybe his wife could get?
No. Once an estate is open, it's public information.
Public record, yeah.
So you can go right to the Register of Wills website and do a search.
Okay.
And you can print the documents right from home, or have us send them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's public information. Now, one thing that people should know because I've gotten these calls too. You know, someone called and said, when this person is really sick, they're in the hospital, I need to know if they have a will. We need to see that will.
Mm.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, and they try to explain, and they, you know, they have this pitch, and that's, let me tell you something. You either feel him down here, and you can ask for him identification. You come in here with a death certificate. That's the only way
that's
that will light of day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So while you are alive, we're not giving anyone else your will. You can come and request it with your identification. But, you know, people can't call and say, oh, you know, is there a will? What's in there? We're going to ask for a death certificate. You know, sometimes people call and check to see if a will is on file. And we can let them know if it's on file. But it does not see the light of day unless you come in person with your identification or someone brings in a death certificate.
Wow. Let's go to another caller who's on the line, wants to join this conversation. 410-319-8888. Tony, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Side note, I'm having some of the same physical issues you've had as far as just falling. And I think you said it was your left leg?
Yes.
Yeah, it was my left leg, too. So, you know, hang in there, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I think we're around the same age, and I'm walking with a cane.
Okay.
And it really takes some getting used to the concept. So,
I appreciate
that. Belinda, I knew your dad, and great family. You kind of answered my question about whether anyone can see your will, because I put my will on file, and couldn't have been a few weeks later, I started having issues with one of my kids.
Mm.
And I said, man, I wonder whether or not, you know, she could go online and look at it or whatever.
Oh.
But it was like, you know, like a rift that came out of nowhere. So so you answered that question for me. What percentage of people do you think in Baltimore have a will?
Mm. That's a very good question, Tony.
Now, that don't have that kind of data.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess, I would say less than 20%.
Wow.
A lot of people put it off.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And then there's some people who, years ago, they would have their attorney keep the will for safekeeping. Which people have gotten away from that. Attorneys have gotten away from that. We've had attorneys that have come and registered bills that they, you know, that they've had for safekeeping. But, you know, problems occur. What happens if the attorney retires and no one takes over that practice, or, you know, what happens to the will? So it's hard to know. There's some people that write them, and there was one lady who contacted me, and she said that she was so happy that I was encouraging people to write their wills, and she thought about it. Her will was at home in her safe, but she's the only one with the combination. She said, so I had to, if it happens to me, no one would have been able to get it. So you want to, we don't know for sure how many people have wills, don't have wills. You can't go by how many are registered with us, because there are people who have them in their homes, or their attorney has them. You know.
Unfortunately, Belinda Conaway, we are out of time. We have several callers who are holding on, who are calling here at the last minute with questions. We will try to hook them up and get them in touch with you. So if they have some questions or pertinent questions, they can reach out to the Register of Wills office and get those questions answered.
Please give the number?
Yes, please do, and your website.
410-752-5131. We'd be more than happy to answer your questions. Just give us a call. And registerofwills.md.gov. I'm sorry, I rarely get asked for that.
That's all right. No, we will definitely get that information. I have enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for joining us today. Belinda Conaway is the Register of Wills for Baltimore City. We'll have you on again to answer some of these questions.
Thank you so much. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Thank you, Belinda Conaway. We'll be back for more Two-Way Talk in just a moment.